Welcome to the Just for Today Faith and NA workshop of WCNA 31. My name is Pam and I'm an addict. Can we please open this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer? Thank you, God. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I have asked Jason to read, what is the Narcotics Anonymous program?
Hello, everyone. I'm Jason. I'm an addict from Sonoma County, California. What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? NA is a non-profit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs had become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There is no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiations, fees, or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups, and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thank you, Jason. And I've asked Annette to read Why Are We Here?
Hi, family. I'm Annette from Orange County, California. Why are we here? Before coming to the Fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy the life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibility, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jails or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods were successful for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until in desperation we sought help through each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized that we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible.
Thank you, Annette. And I've asked Mark to read the Just for Today reading from our daily meditation for September 2nd.
I'm an addict. My name is Mark from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. September the 2nd, Higher Power. Daily practice of our 12 steps program enables us to change for what we were to people guided by a higher power. Basic text, page 83. Who have we been and who have we become? There are a couple ways to answer this question. One is very simple. We came to Narcotics Anonymous as addicts, our addiction killing us. In NA, we've been freed from our obsession with drugs and our compulsion to use, and our lives have changed. But that's only the tip of the iceberg. Who have we really been? In the past, we were people without power or direction. We felt like we had no purpose, no reason for living. Our lives didn't make any more sense to us than they did to our families, our friends, and our neighbors. Who are we really becoming? Today, we are not merely clean addicts, but people with a sense of direction, a purpose, and a power greater than ourselves. Through daily practice of the 12 steps, we've begun to understand how our addiction warped our feelings, motivation, and behavior. Gradually, the destructive force of our disease has been replaced by the life-giving force of our higher power. Recovery means more than cleaning up. It means powering up. We have done more than shed some bad habits. We are becoming new people guided by a higher power. Just for today, the guidance I need to become a new person is ready at hand. Today, I will draw further away from my old lack of direction and closer to my higher power.
Thank you, Mark. At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Diane R. from Pennsylvania.
I'm an addict. My name's Diane. Hi, everyone. You too. I'd like to ask if you would take a moment of silence, please, with me. Again, my name is Diane, and I'm an addict. I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the capital area, and my home group is the Remnants Group that meets on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. I heard other people do that, so I thought I did. First of all, I just wanted to say that I'm very, very nervous. And I want to thank the convention committee for asking me to share. This is quite an honor and a privilege. And when I got the call to do this, I wanted to say no, but I saw my sponsor in my mind, and I knew that I had no choice because I've been taught when I'm asked to serve that I need to do that. So that's what I'm doing. The topic of just for today, faith in NA. I'm just going to share a little bit about how I got here. I'm not going to get into it because we all know that, what it is. And I used over 20 years of my life. I never knew that there was a thing called Narcotics Anonymous. And when I finally got to a place that I was trapped and isolated, and I knew that I had a problem, and I can remember a friend of mine saying to me, you know, I said to her, I think I have a problem, and she said, well, I'll watch your kids for you if you want to go get help, and I said, well, I don't really think I have that bad of a problem. And then she asked me again, and I still decided that I wasn't going to go, but I reached a place where I was about to lose my job. I was about to lose everything that I had that I thought was so important to me. And I went to detox. And my job actually sent me there. Now, my mother always knew that I had a problem with drinking, but she never would face, and probably still to this day wouldn't face, that I used things other than alcohol. But when I was in that detox and I was leaving to go to treatment, she called and said that she just wanted me to know that she loved me. And my mother has been with me and was the only person that has always been there to support me 100% every step of the way and still is. I almost lost my mother last year. 15 years ago, my mother had cancer. And I showed up to the hospital to take her to get her treatment. And I had been out on a binge for about 3 or 4 days. And I fell asleep when they were giving her her treatments. And she said to me in disgust, "Just leave." But this time, I was able to be there with her and walk through a long process that lasted for about 4 months. And I'm happy to say that my mother's home today, and she's doing well. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous through the treatment center that I went to, I did what they told us not to do, and that was to get in a relationship with somebody in treatment. But I did that because I didn't want to go back to the relationship that I was in, because I knew I would use if I did that. Well, needless to say, he used, and I saw that God didn't strike him dead, and I used too. So, of course, I still understood it to be that it was always everybody else. It was the job, it was the kids, it was the dog, it was my parents, it was the boyfriend, it was whatever, but I was never the problem. So I used for a couple more years, but the seed had been planted. And when I got to that place again of desperation, when I came out of that bedroom and I'd look in my son's face, who at this time was 15 years old, and he had that look on his face of, "What are you doing to us?" I just couldn't look in his face one more time. So I went to a meeting and I surrendered to this program. And by the grace of God, I've been clean since then. I believe in Narcotics Anonymous more than I believe in anything in the world. This program has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. I was saying to my husband this morning when I was getting ready to come over here that I just can't believe that an addict like me is at a world convention in Hawaii. Before I got clean, I was never even in an airport, let alone in Hawaii. And I think this is my 7th world convention. You know, I've been all over the place, and I love it. You know, I live to come to world conventions. The day I left to come here, that son of mine that was 15, that's now 28, went to the hospital the night before because he was contemplating suicide. Because he's an addict, just like me. And he was in detox, you know, and after that. Now, I don't know that he wants to get clean as much as he doesn't want to go to jail for those 2 DUIs that the PO is going to put him in for at the end of this month for not paying his fines. But you know what? I can't judge anyone's desire to be clean. And if the seed gets planted, because you know he told us, my husband and I, very clearly that he doesn't want to be like us. He wants to drink. He wants to use. But you know, somebody prayed me in here, and I can pray him in here too. We almost didn't make it to this world convention because my mother-in-law was diagnosed 2 weeks ago with lung cancer. And we really were not sure what was the right thing to do. But she wanted us to come, so we came. You know, there's been a lot of things going on for me in the last couple years. But I have to say that I have not once thought about using. And I owe that to this program. And I owe that to my sponsor and to the women that I sponsor, because I believe that I have a responsibility to stay clean to those women. I believe that you have to take this whole program I don't pick and choose the pieces that I want to do. I believe in having a home group. I got involved in service when I was a couple days clean. I joined a home group, not the home group I have now, but I joined a home group, and they saw me coming. I had, I think, every position that was there because they were tired of doing it. But it was okay because somebody was depending on me to come and open that door up. And it kept me coming back. You know, I got involved in H&I in very early recovery. And I'm still involved today. And again, on a lot of days when I didn't want to show up, I knew that they were expecting me to be there to bring a meeting to the prison or to a detox or to the juvenile facility or wherever it was. And, you know, there has never been a day that I've gone to whatever meeting that was that I didn't walk away from there knowing that they had given me something. Because there, but for the grace of God, go I. You know, this is such a gift. And I just recently went over my 11th step with my sponsor. And my son actually called me this morning. He's trying to collect information to get into treatment. And I had him read me the Just for Today this morning. And I thought, you know, man, that just goes right hand in hand. You know, the longer that I stay here, the more I understand. I understand the whole thing, you know. I have a loving God in my life today. And it's just beyond my wildest dreams. I don't have to be right. And I watch because I've been there. You know, my sponsor and I talk about this, the different phases of recovery. You know, and I've been in every one of those phases. I've been the person where if you said something that wasn't exactly the way we were supposed to be sharing, you know, I've been the NA cops. I've been, you know, I've been all of that, you know, and it's okay. It's okay, you know. Today, it just doesn't matter. Just come and stay. You know, you know, I've got some people in this room that are from the Capital area that are here to support me and that I love very dearly. You know, miracles happen in this fellowship. A couple years ago, I was at our NA New Year's Eve meeting and, you know, get-together that we have, and a girl that I used to use with came up to me, and there was a treatment facility there, and she said she wanted to introduce me to this young lady because this young lady needed a sponsor. So she brought this little girl up to me, and I gave her my phone number, and I said, call me. Well, I never thought I'd hear from her again, you know, and she's in this room today with her daughter. And she's coming up on 3 years clean. And I love her. And I have another woman here who left me to move with her husband in South Carolina. But that's a North, excuse me. One of those Carolinas. And she's a blessing to me, too. And I have friends that are here, and my sponsor's here, and I'm probably more nervous about her being here than anybody. But and my husband. I better give him kudos or I'll hear that later. But, you know, I was reading, I went to the luau last night, and we got back really late, and I was in the bathtub, you know, I'm trying to read from the chapter, you know, Just for Today, and I'm in the bathtub, and I'm so exhausted, I'm nodding out trying to read this, you know, but the one thing that really stuck out to me was that, you know, Narcotics Anonymous is like the lifeboat in the sea of desperation, and that is the truth. And I admire, and it just warms my soul to see the younger people that are coming in. And I'm so grateful for the women and the men that come in here that have little children that can grow up and that they can be clean as parents. You know, but I have been blessed. I didn't think it was a blessing at the time. My daughter got pregnant when she was in her senior year in high school, and it gave me so much shame and embarrassment. But today I have a 5-year-old little grandson that keeps me clean when nothing else does, because he's never seen me use and he never has to. And I'll tell you, some days when I am just at the end of my rope, and I come around my corner, and my daughter's car is parked there, and I go in the door, and this little boy runs up to me and says, "Nana," nothing else matters, you know. And that's all a gift. That's all part of being clean and being a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm very passionate about NA, and I still can be an NA police when I need to be. Because our fellowship is something that is precious, and we need to take pride in it. And I try to teach that to the women that I sponsor, because we lose meetings when we don't act accordingly. And people watch us. And I was thinking about that as we were standing in line last night, and the police were guiding the people and everything, and I was... Because when people hear narcotics, they say, "Whoa." You know. But we can show them, you know, that the lie is dead.
That's right.
You know, and I believe through this program that I never have to use again. And I believe that. You know, we were talking about that, I don't know if it was on the plane or whatever, but my first thought isn't about using anymore. You know, and sometimes I forget that when I'm talking to a newcomer. I just take it for granted that they should know that, you know, because I sometimes forget how it was to be so desperate just not to use for 24 hours. Because I haven't had that overwhelming feeling to use for a while. But it's because I show up every day. I do the same things today that I did when I walked in the door. And by the grace of God, I've been able to stick around here for a few hours. But I'm too afraid not to keep doing that stuff, because I see what happens to people that don't. And I've watched people that use try to get back after some time clean. And if I don't believe anything else, I do believe that this disease is progressive. And I do believe jails, institutions, and death. My son has now done 2 of the 3, and I don't want him to do the 3rd. But I have a daughter who is awesome. The same daughter that has this little boy. You know, she's in college, she works, and she's a good mother. And she's learned some of that from me. And I have 4 beautiful stepchildren. My oldest stepson is also an addict who was in jail and got out and committed armed robbery the same day he got out. And he's back in, and his little boy's only 20 years old. And he didn't even give it a chance. But I believe that maybe this is God stopping him. Disease doesn't care. It doesn't discriminate. And it will kill you. It will kill me. But I'm just so grateful to be here. It's such an overwhelming experience. And I just can't wait for my little sponsee to participate in that clean time countdown. Because there is nothing in this world like that feeling when you're in that room with all those addicts. And I wish I just could have brought my whole area here to experience it. I just wish I could have done that. But I haven't hit the lotto yet, so I can't. But, you know, Hawaii is beautiful, and I want to thank the people from Hawaii for having us here. You know. And I don't know, I'm really running out of things to say. If I can't say anything else, if you're new, get a home group, get a sponsor, get involved in service. Service is the glue that's going to keep you here. Steps are the key. You know, I talked about it in the Just for Today book. This is a 12-step program, and we change through the steps. You know, my sponsor once told me, you know, that when if I want to compare myself to myself when I first got here, and there's no comparison. I'm not the person that I want to be, but I'm not the person I used to be. So I think that I'm done, and I want to thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you.
I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Roy from California.
My name's Roy, and I'm an addict. And I want to thank God for keeping me clean, you know. And I especially want to thank the committee for asking me to come out and share. You know, when you get the call, and it's a big deal for me, you know. And sometimes I want to pretend that, you know, I've done this before and all this kind of stuff, you know. But it's such an honor, you know. And I don't know. I really want to thank them. And, you know, especially welcome the new people. Because this is what this is all about, you know. For me, I think sometimes being here at the convention, I'm in Hawaii, and, you know, the biggest problem I got is which card are me and my wife going to put whatever on, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's that's a good thing, though. You know, it's a good thing. I, too, would like to, let me just get the tender stuff out the way real quick. I got a friend. Her name's Jeanette J. And, you know, our topic is faith, just for today, faith in NA. And this woman has really showed me a lot about faith, you know. And the second thing I want to say is that it's a lot of addicts today that couldn't make it here because of what's going on down south, you know. And sometimes, you know, like we having fun and this is real cool, but there really are some people that's catching hell right now. Some addicts that need this program, you know. And, you know, when we watch the news in the morning and stuff like that, it really hits home for me. And I'd just like to have a moment of silence. Thank you. I'm from San Diego. And, I got clean on October the 1st of 1992, you know, and my clean date is also the day that I got out of jail, you know. And, you know, I had clean time when I was in jail, but I didn't have faith that I was going to be able to stay clean. I didn't know nothing about just for the day and them kind of things. All I knew was I would get out and I would try the same insanity over and over and over again. And it never worked. You know, I'd get out, I'd cop a package, I'd front myself half, and I'd be off to the races. You know? And I'm telling you, I wanted to be a drug seller so bad, you know? But I just couldn't pull it off. No matter how much I tried, and God knows, I tried. I tried every which way that I knew how. I was going to sell this and use that and piece this, and, you know, and it was just ridiculous. And by the time I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I was robbing ice cream trucks. Okay? Let me just get this out the way. You know what I mean? Because I was a low-budget dope fiend that was played out by the time I got here. And, you know, it wasn't a question of how much faith. I didn't have no faith. I didn't think I could get clean. You know what I mean? I was just going to try to out-hustle this thing. That's all I knew, was I had to figure out a way how I was going to out-hustle the disease. And when I got here and I started hearing people talk about, you know, not using, and you didn't have to use, you know, not for the rest of your life, but just for the day. What a concept, man. I mean, it totally let me off the hook. You know what I'm saying? Because I was thinking I had to stay clean until I got off parole. You know? That's what I thought. That's what I thought they meant by that, you know? And they was like, no, 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 you don't have to stay clean until you get off parole. You just got to stay clean today. And it really broke it down for me because I'm going to just talk about personal faith. You know, the program speaks for itself. It works, man. Thousands of addicts getting clean. But I was in a treatment program. It was an outpatient. And every day at 12 o'clock, they would have Narcotics Anonymous meetings right next door. And we would break for lunch, and then I would go in there, and I would look at these addicts, and they were talking about stuff that I didn't have the courage to talk about. You know, they said things like they were lonely and scared and didn't know what to do, didn't know what the outcome was. They had low self-esteem, you know, and I could identify with that kind of stuff. I might be the only one, you know. But I didn't realize how lonely I was until I heard another addict say it. And I said, you know, that's what's wrong with me. I'm lonely. I'm isolated. I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know how to be around. I didn't have the social graces that would allow me to, you know, it used to bother me when people try to hug me and stuff like that. You know, not, I mean, I wanted the hugs from the women, you know what I mean? But it was just, I didn't know how to be like, interact with people. And slowly, the faith for me was that I kind of started listening. I didn't take no welcome tokens, no 30-day tokens. I got clean on the back row. And you can get clean on the back row. I'm living proof. October 1st, 1992, that's my clean day. You know, I didn't, you know, and it was kind of because I wasn't going to get that involved. Not in the program. I wasn't going to get that involved. I was going to get off parole, get me a job, get me a woman with Section 8, and I was going to be cool. You know what I'm saying? And I thought that was, you know, and I know it's got to be somebody up in here that not a, you know, that was a come up. You know what I mean? You know, that was a come up. That's where I come from. You know, and I never associated hard work with, you know, with having things. And so as time goes, and I started hearing these people, and they started, you know, like, yeah, man, you know, all the success stories you hear in our meetings and stuff, that stuff is true. And that's what I started buying into. Man, and maybe I could stay clean, too, you know. And I remember one day I used to walk to the meetings, and because I didn't really know how to, you know, people would offer me rides and stuff like that, but I don't know what it was. You know, I knew what it was. I wasn't comfortable in my own skin, you know, and I wasn't for sure what it was all about. It's like, why are they so nice? It's got to be a hook to this. It's got, something's got to be going on, you know, and I was walking to the meeting. I could walk to this particular meeting. It was, they had them every day of the week. And at 12 o'clock noon, and I walked, and it brought tears to my eyes, man. I had about $30, $40 in my pocket, and copping wasn't the first thing on my mind, you know. And that was the faith that, you know what, it was like, oh, man, this is a trip, you know. This stuff is really working for me, you know. I got a job, like in 93 days clean, man, I got a job, man, and you know, I started feeling better about myself. You know, I had to catch the bus in the rain. And see, I wanted what you had in like 30 days. You know, I wanted a car, you know, some gold, you know what I mean? And, you know, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, you know, but I started working, man. And I got a sponsor because everybody else said they had one, you know. And I've been a fake all my life. So it was easy for me to pick up on some of the code words that we talk about, getting a sponsor, having a God. You know, I got pretty good at kind of, you know, parroting what was being said. And by me having a sponsor, if you ask me, I could just drop his name. He was pretty popular. You know what I mean? Everybody knew. Oh, yeah, I'm in there. You know, I got a sponsor. And but I was living, the sister that I was living with, my daughter's mom, and me and her, we used together, you know, and we didn't have no business being together. I mean, we were seriously two fucked up people living together, you know, and we didn't even call it domestic violence, you know. That was just the way that it was, you know what I mean? And I remember one time I jumped on her because that's all I knew what to do. But when you clean, it's not the same. It is not the same when you come into meetings and you finding a new way to live and things is looking better for you. And I remember we had this big thing and I called my sponsor. And first he told me, he said, you know, you can go to jail clean, you know. But then he told me that, you know, that this wasn't a spectator thing, you know, that you had to participate in it. You had to actually work the steps for them to work for you, you know. And that, you know, it was a new way to live. And so I kind of said, well, you know, I'm going to try it. You know, not that I was going to do it. I was just going to try it. And I got a book and I started working the steps, man. And that's when the freedom really, you know, started happening for me, man. I started believing in Narcotics Anonymous, man. And I got a coffee commitment, you know, and I'm straight out of jail, right? You know, I ain't making no coffee, you know. And but I got that commitment, and it saved my life. It saved my life, man. People started knowing who I was. You know, any meeting you go to, if the coffee, everybody know the coffee maker. Just let them don't show up. You know what I mean? And everybody in the room will tell you who the coffee maker is. You know. And it was, it like, you know, and I started really believing in Narcotics Anonymous, you know what I mean? I mean, really started participating in it, you know? And 8 months clean, my mom passed. And my mother was a rock, man. I had 6 sisters and 3 brothers. There was 10 of us, and she held us together. Strong woman. I don't know, I marvel at her today, how she was able to hold us together. And but my ace in the hole, that was my ace in the hole. She didn't believe in all this being powerless and letting go. We were her kids, and we had a place to go. And she was gone, man. And I'll never forget this, man. They called me at work, and I drove to a meeting. I went to that same 12 o'clock meeting and said, man, you guys ain't gonna believe this. My mama just died. And they hugged me. They loved me. And they told me to keep coming back, and they came to the funeral. I mean, people I didn't even know that I didn't even think knew who I was, you know, cooked food and all that stuff. And I really was like, I was impressed, you know. I was impressed with the fellowship. And, man, it just, you know, it changed me about you guys. You know, I could see the program was working by how my life was changing. The fellowship. You know, because sometimes you know how we get. You know what I mean? You know how we get. You know, we ain't always, you know, we hugging each other here because we all over in Hawaii. But when we go back to our areas, there's some people we ain't going to hug. You know what I mean? Just on the strength. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's just the reality of the way that it is. But they love me, you know, and I started really believing in Narcotics Anonymous, man, and this whole just for the day thing, man. And it was a trip because, you know, I just like, it took off for me. You know, it really did. And I started growing just as a person, man. I really started growing, you know. And about 7 years ago, you know, I had knew this sister, and she was like, when I got clean, and I know some of the guys are going to identify with this, she was like the unobtainable woman. You know, when you get in recovery, you know how you see these women when you just get clean, you think, man, I'll never get clean enough for her, you know? And And we started this relationship, you know, and we ended up getting married, you know. Yeah, and 5 years. I love you, baby, you know. And yeah. And you know, it's been a good ride, you know, but we got married in July, and I had another thing, was that there's another person that I really wanted to acknowledge. His name is Archie Y, and he was my sponsor. And this guy was, he was a white guy. And I had done a lot of penitentiary time, and I had that kind of, those kind of hang-ups and stuff like that. But I really admired him just as a man, you know, the way he carried himself. And I finally got up enough courage to ask him to sponsor me. And he said, yeah, and he invited me into his house, and we worked the steps, you know, and that's what it was about, you know, about working the steps. And right after me and my wife got married, he got sick. We met on Mondays, and he got sick. And maybe 2 months later, he passed away, you know. I was like, man, this is a trip. But now I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know, I got a little recovery in my tank, you know what I mean? I'm going to wait and pick the right guy, you know, and do all this research and, you know, background checks and all this kind of stuff, you know. And I had my brother was working with me. He had got out, but he was the type of addict that he didn't think he needed the program, and I was on fire with the program. I didn't think you could, you know, drink or smoke weed or do anything like that, you know, but anyway, he was like, whatever, man, you know, and he was working with me, and one day he didn't show up for work, you know, and one day turned into two. And I got real concerned about him, you know, because I had heard some of the stuff that was going on with him. And anyway, the bottom line was that I went over to his house, and somebody had killed him, had murdered him, you know. And I was like, now this is some white hot pain. And I'll never forget, you know, I think that sometimes our faith gets tested in ways that it's like, it's hard to talk about. You know, I mean, you know, you can't explain it from one person to another. And all of us, you know, and the newer people need to understand that everybody gets their turn. You know, I don't care who your sponsor is, what step you're on, what God you believe in. If you believe in a power greater than yourself, we all get our turn. And boy, that was my turn. You know, and it was a chance to really roll up my sleeves, man, and dig in. And I just, you know, I thank God I made it through, you know. And it wasn't about being all spiritual and, you know, quoting steps and stuff. Man, I just wanted to stay clean. I just needed, you know, sometimes we just need to catch our breath. You know what I mean? I know I do with the stuff that I go through. And, but I made it through. And it was, I think, like with my wife, it strengthened our relationship, because that was supposed to be our year. But life don't wait for you to get your shit together. You know, it's not going to ask you what step you're on. Or, you know what I mean? You know, are you ready for this? You know what I mean? You know, it's just like, you know what? You know, we need to do this. You know, life is like, I got some things we need to talk about, you know? And, man, it's just been, you know, but I found out that I could take a punch, that I wasn't no lightweight, you know, that I could take a punch, man, and still be a part of this program. And it was the going to the meetings part, you know, the living just for the day that saved my ass. If I would have had to live like for 6 months at a time or, you know, something, I don't think I could have made it to look 6 months down the road. And I was like, man, you know, beginning of this year, I was catching hell, man. I'd been on my job 12 years, got fired, you know, I'm in escrow on a house, you know, and they fired me. Man, these dirty dogs, you know. And, but I wanted, you know, I said more than that, but, you know, it was just like, you know, But it got to the point where I just had to live a day at a time, man. I had to roll up my sleeves, man. I had to humble myself and come into the meeting. I was embarrassed, man. How you lose your job with 12 years clean? I got a sponsor. I'm working the steps. I'm being a service. I'm popular in my area. I don't care nothing about that, you know. Get your ass out of here, you know. You know. And so I was like, you know, I really had to, like, you know, just like, man, say that serenity prayer, man, and I had to go in the meeting and I had to raise my hand just like everybody else and say, you know what, I'm ruined, I'm an addict, and this is what's going on with me today. And I had to keep it real, you know, and before I forget, that's been my home group forever. We just moved out of town, but the Keeping It Real on the Hill meeting, Friday nights at 7 o'clock, 30th and Ocean View, San Diego, you know. If you're ever in town, we'd love to have you over there, you know, and we try to keep it real. And so, you know, I love Narcotics Anonymous, man, you know. I mean, I love this program, man, and it's totally let me off the hook. We're having a great time in Hawaii. This is, like, unbelievable to be here, you know what I mean? And this feel like I'm I don't know, a professor in a school or something, giving a lecture, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm feeling important right now, you know? And so I might take up her time, you know? She left me a few minutes, you know? And, And I just you know what? The honest to God's truth is I'm living better than I ever have in my entire life. And, you know, when I got here, if there's anybody that's new or knew I was 30, I was 35, man, stealing out of my mother's purse. That's the kind of addict I was when I got here. It's a low-budget dope fiend, man. I was played out, man. And Narcotics Anonymous has shown me a new way to live. And not only is it new, it's a better way to live. You know, it's a real good way to live, man. And the topic has been on hit. I'm not sure how long we need to go. Okay. But the topic has been on hit. And then I... one of the things that really has helped me out is service. You know, service has, when I first got here, I wasn't going to get involved like that. I wasn't going to pray. I wasn't going to do all of this kind of stuff. But I started with that coffee commitment, and it just escalated, you know. Group service, area service, regional service. You know, I've done some world service, and it's good for my self-esteem. I don't know about anybody else, but when I do service, it helps my self-esteem, you know. And I ain't one of them people to say, well, we all need to do, you do whatever it is you need to do, you know. Just keep coming back, you know. But for me, it was just like, you know, and I know for this convention committee, can we give them a hand? I don't know if anybody's here, but, you know. Because I know it's a lot of hard work to go into this type of stuff, and we're just enjoying it, you know. And you know, but it's a lot of hard work, man. So I was gonna keep going, but you know what? I'm just glad to be clean. Honest to God, I am. San Diego was in the house. I want to thank you guys for coming out and supporting me. And you know, I just want to tell anybody, really, you know, not just the newer people, but it's especially important for them, but for all of us, you know, because there's some people here with clean time that, you know, need to trust this process too, you know. And we're not just here to go snorkeling and swimming. We're trying to hear something that's going to sustain us for another day, you know what I mean? Because in the midst of all these Hawaiian shirts and shorts and all the stuff that we do, this is serious business. You know, I know my life depends on you guys, on us sticking together and hanging in there, man. And I'm so grateful that I, too, have had the opportunity to come here and be a part of this. It's real beautiful. Every time I look out my window or whatever, you know, it's just like, this is crazy. For an addict like me, man, to be doing this kind of stuff, it's just like insane, you know. And it's crazy. And my wife, baby, thank you. you know, for everything. You know, she's been my rock through all the different little, you know, storms or, you know, issues or whatever it is. I guess some of them real, some of them imagined. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I had to sort through this kind of stuff, and she's been right there with me. So, you know, I love you, baby. And I'm going to close with the most spiritual thing I've ever heard at any meeting was to keep coming back. And when they told me I was going to share, I said, you know, I got to get a story. All the big convention speakers got stories, right? And so I said, well, you know, I got my story. And it's a short story, so just hold on, you know. And I've only told it once before, so, you know. But anyway, the name of the story is Thank You. Thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Let's thank Diane and Roy one more time. And I've asked Vern to read just for today.
I'm a grateful addict from San Diego. My name is Vern. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Just for today.
Let's circle up and do the third step prayer.